¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss 2 episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by my very sleepy co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
It's not my fault.
Are you sure about that?
Daylight savings time. It fucks everything up.
The ironic thing is, last night at 12:30 a.m., Austin says, "Don't forget, we're springing forward."
And here I am. I overslept.
And here you are, late.
You know what?
You know what?
You know what?
I don't know what. Can somebody explain to me why we're still doing this whole daylight savings time thing in the first place?
It's a metaphor.
For the world crashing down around us?
It's a metaphor for the federal government's failings.
Can't even pass a simple law to make it so we all are just on one time.
Ridiculous.
I agree.
Ridiculous. I'm tired of it.
Exactly. Well, here we are, the worst time of the year. Not only is the time we've lost an hour, but just a few short weeks ago, it was freezing cold to the point where I had no heat in my apartment, and now it's 80 degrees outside. And I'm wearing shorts today. This is the first day I'm wearing shorts this
season. Yeah, I'm not used to shorts. Mm-mm. No. Last night, there was a torrential downpour, and it happened as I was leaving the grocery store. And it was rain, and I was like in shorts and a t-shirt, and I got wet. I got so wet.
Oh, my.
Not like that. Okay, so,
we're back. Like we said a few weeks ago, things are a little sporadic at the moment. We're back, and we have some news. I think it's been a couple weeks now, by the time this comes out, that the Pokemon Day announcements have happened, which we didn't talk about last time, because I think we were anticipating it. So, thoughts?
I'm so excited for the Pokemon Game Boy music player thing. How much does that thing cost?
I'm not sure if they even set a price, but I'm sure everybody who's listening along now has seen the Pokemon Day announcements. Austin's favorite thing was the single cartridge per song cartridge player thing.
It's $70 and it's sold out.
$70?
$70.
That's bonker balls to me.
It's sold out because I bought you 70 copies.
You know what? I can appreciate a collector's item. I'm sure you can concur, Austin. You are also a collector of interesting and quirky things.
I love weird shit.
This is one of those things that's like a good conversation piece, but it is too weird and it is too shit. Like, go online right now, anybody, and just if you have a Pokemon Red or Blue or Yellow song you want to listen to, go online. Type it into YouTube. 1 billion uploads exist. Just go and listen to it. I don't understand the appeal of this, and not for $70. Plus, just think about all the plastic waste.
That's what really gets me.
I think we can all collectively say that this isn't something that really needed to exist.
No.
Maybe somebody feels strongly in another way, but I think I'll pass. I think you'll pass too on that.
It's already sold out, so we have to pass.
Good. I wasn't planning on buying it.
What else did they announce? Generation 10? Is that it? Were those the only announcements?
So there was a lot of the peripheral games that
No one cares about those. Well, I mean, people
Cafe
care.
Cafe Remix, Austin?
I don't care are you saying, about
those. You saying you don't care about Pokemon Cafe Remix?
Who's playing Pokemon Cafe Remix? I don't understand.
Maybe somebody out there is a big fan. If you guys out there are playing some of these other spin-off games, let us know. Like, do you have a favorite one?
I mean, Pokemon Go, obviously. Pokemon Masters, people must be playing. I guess people play Pokemon Sleep. I don't anymore.
I thought you gave up on playing Pokemon Sleep because you were afraid it was going to set your bed on fire.
That's a whole story.
Oh.
Pokemon Unite, I can see people playing that. It's addicting, actually, when you start to play it. We should play it, actually.
That's something we could do. I know how I love how we're clowning on these, like, extra games, but then we're like, oh, we should totally.
Well, it's boring. It's boring when they're like, oh, my God, get some gems. Hooray. Like, who cares? Move on. Whatever. Brand awareness.
I guess you could argue everything related to Pokemon is a pay-to-play, but I think it's all these microtransaction mobile-type games that is in the forefront right now that just really bugs me, because I'm like, I'm not buying a bunch of gems or for TCG Pocket, I'm not buying a bunch of card packs or whatever it is they want you to buy.
That's the one I currently play, is TCG Pocket. That's the only one I'm currently engaged with. In fact, let's open a pack right now.
Okay, let's see what you get.
All right.
Oh, by the way, while you pull that up, I don't know if we talked about this last time, but a few weeks back, Austin had shared with us that he was out of town for a trip and in Las Vegas, and they had one of those mystery vending machine TCG Pokemon things, and it was $90 to get a mystery card.
$100.
Oh, I'm sorry, $100. And we have a local mall that apparently has one of these vending machines, and we went to go investigate to see if the price was comparable, and what was it? It was like $70.
It's $80.
Why am I off by 10? So we did not buy the $80 mystery Pokemon card here at home either. I did, however, spend, what was it, $65 on a SpongeBob neon colored jellyfish jam themed hoodie.
You were so excited.
I was so excited. I couldn't contain myself. I was like a child all over again.
All right, I didn't get anything new for my cards.
Sad day. Do they make you pay to get something rare?
I could pay, but I'm not going to.
But we're not going to support that.
There are multiple cards I will never have because you have to pay for them.
What a shame. I think everything should at least have a chance to be pulled for free, but I know they'll never do that. Anyway, so the big announcement we need to talk about. Gen 10, you mentioned it.
The big announcement was Mega Garchomp Z.
Oh, sorry. I forgot. I forgot. That's right. It was so lackluster. I'm so sorry. I'm being hateful about this, but they were like, oh, we have big news about the Pokemon Mega Dimension DLC for ZA. And I was like, oh my God, what could it be? Oh, by the way, sorry, I just want to mention, on the premiere of the Pokemon Day announcements, I actually went over to Austin's house. So we took the day off, and I drove myself over in rush hour traffic, and we watched it together, only to be told that we get Mega Garchomp Z.
Mega Garchomp Z, which looks exactly the same as the old Mega Garchomp.
I love how when we watched it together, we were like, wait, is that the new one? What's different?
Boring.
I'm sorry to all the Garchomp lovers out there and Cynthia fans. I'm so sorry.
Mega Absol Z and Mega Lucario Z look really cool. Why does Mega Garchomp Z look like that?
You're right. I feel like they had an opportunity to do something a little different. I'm not sure why they chose to really keep it aesthetically similar to what exists currently, but we can't know the minds of Game Freak. All right, Austin. So, you want to talk about initial thoughts for the big reveal of Pokemon Winds and Pokemon Waves?
The graphics look good. That's nice. Starters aren't really doing it for me, although I like the dog the best of the three. Basically, I'm just glad it's in 2027, because that means I'm in no rush to buy a Switch 2.
I think that was the most surprising part of the announcement. We were all expecting it to be this year as the 30th anniversary year. You know, we always expect a fall release to line up with, like, Christmas and all the sales and stuff like that. But yeah, they said 2027, which we don't know. Is that early 27? Mid 27? Late? Who knows? But yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to go out and buy a Switch 2 at the moment. So I guess that saves us from having to spend a lot of money right now. I guess my initial thoughts are, I love the bird the best, Brout. He's super cute. And my initial leaning is Pokemon Win. So yeah, I mean, I guess I'm curious to know, like Austin said, there's not a whole lot of information out there about Gen 10, of course, but if you guys have any initial thoughts or feelings on it, let us know, because I love this part of, like, when a new Pokemon game releases, the speculation.
See, this is the most boring part to me, because I'm like, we don't have any information.
I don't know, I always think it's exciting.
You know what's really exciting?
What's that?
Our listeners.
Exactly. We have some feedback.
I got a message from Drano, who is here to announce that he is finally caught up to Out of the Drying Pan.
Yay! That's so exciting.
After 3 years of getting caught up.
That's amazing. I just want to say, first of all, thank you so much for sticking with us and listening to 3 years worth of content.
Drano gave us his origin story.
Okay, I want to hear.
I've been a Pokemon fan since getting Red Version for Hanukkah in 1998, but I only ever got to watch the anime 3 episodes at a time on VHS. There was no live TV in our house because our antenna was struck by lightning and died.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty intense.
As far as I know, they stopped putting out VHSs after Johto Journeys and skipped the Orange Islands entirely, so I missed out on a lot. Thank you for keeping me up on all the batshit going-ons of this dumb children's show.
It's our pleasure.
Drano says he is not watching the episodes, but made the exception for the Norman and Carolina Fair episode at Alex's suggestion.
I thought it was worth it.
And certainly did not regret it.
There you go. We never lead you guys astray.
In response to requests for data, his favorite Gen 1 starter is Squirtle. But can agree that it was a bad call bringing Bulbasaur back for May. For even more screen time.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like this is one of those cases where the writers really loved Bulbasaur, or somebody who was making that decision was like, oh, Bulbasaur's my favorite, so they chose that one. I don't feel like a lot of people talk about Squirtle. Poor Blastoise.
Oh, well. Poor Squirtle. We'll get back to Squirtle at a later date.
I'm curious to know if you guys have picked up the Fire Red and Leaf Green ports to Switch. Do you guys own it already and are like, oh, I don't have any use for that. I have an old cartridge, the Game Boy. Or is this exciting news? Do you guys feel like, oh, I didn't get to play it back in the day, or I didn't have that version, so this is an opportunity to catch up with the nostalgia? Like, I don't know. I just want to take a poll and see, what do people feel about paying $20 for a 30-year-old game, basically.
And that's all Drano's got.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for letting us know. It's so good to hear from you guys. I also have some feedback. I know it's been a while since we were out last week. This is from Liam over on Instagram. And he responded, I think this was in a relation to a trainer's choice.
Okay, I'm pulling up the trainer's choice list.
Yes, I think we need to remind ourselves which one this is regarding. So Liam shares that he still thinks that Blaziken is the right choice because fire make bug go bye bye. Alex just asked if there was some fighting resistance y'all didn't know about. Still right in my book. Poison and bug resist fighting, so fighting moves do 0.25 damage to Ariados. My friend asked me a while back, why is fighting resisted by bug? And then I asked him, have you ever tried to punch a fly? So I think this was a few weeks back, Austin.
Yeah, versus Ariados. And they said Onix, spelled with a Y, was the correct answer.
But Blaziken is the correct choice.
Sure.
Clearly, because fire typing.
Pokemon Trainer's choice has really fucked me up in the head. I no longer believe in reality and myself.
I think we should just go on the vibe. Like, if you're playing a Pokemon game, I think you just need to trust your intuition. And if it's right, it's right. If it's not,
who cares?
Okay, well, try again. Also, Liam shifts gears, and this is in relation to our last episode, Wish Cash and Ash, when we were talking about Nero, the Wish Cash, and the historical figure that this name obviously is a reference to.
Good, because we don't know anything about history.
Right. I should have brought this up to Josh, you know, asked Josh if he knew off the top of his head anything about that. But this is what Liam shares. He says, if you've ever seen Game of Thrones, Nero was basically like Aerys, the Mad King. One of the original conspiracy theories, maybe ever, was that he burned Rome, like literally burned the city down. Although there's no tangible proof or evidence, it was so widely accepted for a long time that it basically became truth. But even outside of that, he was legitimately tyrannical. He committed heinous acts, burned innocents on crosses and on categorically false accusations, persecuted Christians and Jews alike, etc. Recent scholarship indicates that he wasn't really a bad person, at least as it relates to other emperors, just indifferent to emperorship. He didn't want to be emperor and preferred the arts. He would often perform in plays and was infamous for cross-dressing. He just did not care to be emperor. Critics posit that such characterizations seek to excuse the barbarity of a long-accepted evil emperor. That's interesting insight. Maybe people just thought he was a convenient scapegoat, it sounds like.
I don't know. Sounds like something a Wishcash would do. Burn cities to the ground.
I appreciate that. History is fascinating.
Okay, who is Aerys in Game of Thrones? I don't remember that character.
The Mad King. I'm not sure. Oh, God. I shouldn't be talking about this because I really have no knowledge of Game of Thrones.
I thought you'd seen the whole thing.
Yeah, like 10 years ago.
Oh.
I think he was... Was he Daenerys's father? Oh, God. I shouldn't say anything because I'm really wrong. He is the Mad King, the last Targaryen to rule the Seven Kingdoms before Robert's Rebellion, descending into insanity due to trauma, leading to paranoia, cruelty, and an obsession with fire, assault, culminating in his assassination by Jaime Lannister, earning Jaime the Kingslayer title. He was the... Oh, I was right! Oh my god, I did remember something. He was the father of Rhaegar, Viserys, and Daenerys Targaryen. Okay, yeah. There you go. Well, thank you, Liam and Drano, for your feedback. We love to hear from you guys. Alright, well, with that, I think we're ready to jump right in to our very exciting and long-awaited contest episodes that we have this week.
Yay! I feel like contests are like an oasis in the desert sometimes.
They really are. We love a contest episode. I guess, what are your overall thoughts on these two as a like a pair, just in general?
This is the MILF Island episode?
Oh my god! Yeah.
There were some questionable sexual politics happening today.
I think this might be even weirder than the Norman cult town.
We'll get into it.
So, who's doing what this week?
All right, the episodes are A Phantom with a Plan and Cruising for a Losing. I'm gonna flip the MILF coin.
Oh, God.
You are doing the Flash Challenge for the first episode.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready.
I will try my best.
3, 2, 1, go!
We're in Rubello Town, and there's a contest that apparently nobody knew was happening. May's like, of course I'm going to sign up for that, but determines that she needs a ribbon to get into the contest. Luckily, she has two. There's also a group called the MFPs, who are Moms Who Love Pokemon, and they're in love with Drew, who's just a child. Meanwhile, they are rizzing up May, and she's getting an inflated ego, and everybody's having anxiety. Time.
So, we are in Rubello Town, and there's a poster for a Pokemon contest. And they're like, oh yeah, a Pokemon contest. May, you should do that. May's like, okay.
I have a question. I need to understand, like, the logistics of how all this works. Don't you think that when May initially signed up for a contest to be a participant, shouldn't there be, like, a schedule? Shouldn't there be, like, a guidebook? Shouldn't there be something?
They seem to have so many contests that you can just wander around and find new ones as you wander.
I mean, this is convenient because they just happen to roll into town on the eve of whenever this is happening.
It's in 2 days from now.
Did they say 2 days? Because I'm pretty sure...
I counted sunsets.
I know you counted the sunsets, but I'm pretty sure May or Max or somebody makes a comment like it's happening the next night. So are they wrong or did I mishear?
Well, it never happens during night, so I don't know what that comment was.
That was weird. Okay, whatever.
We are going to sign up for the Rebello Town contest. Where the fuck is Rebello Town? Who cares? But Drew is here, and Drew calls out May and says, not all of us just wander from town to town bumping into random contests. Some of us actually take this seriously.
You know what? Maybe this isn't a lack of coordination on the contest organizers or the Grand Festival Committee or whoever is running this stuff. I think this is just May not caring, not paying attention. She just utilizes the Ash method and just waits for like serendipity to happen. Like, that's my take on it.
Well, speaking of random stuff happening, a horde of MILFs appear.
Oh, gosh.
And they surround Drew, and they scream like a bunch of 40-year-old ladies looking at Taylor Lautner in a Twilight movie.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I literally have in my notes. I was like, this is very Taylor Lautner during peak Twilight fame.
It's gross. It's horrible. It's disgusting. They are flooding their panties over Drew. There is a lady who has Drew pictures as her flip phone cell background. She also has a Drew doll that she somehow has acquired.
An action figure.
In stalker photos of Drew, which is less alarming than the doll.
Who is producing this merchandise?
Her.
Because, like, we see that they also have Norman merch in another scene.
Well, we know where they got the Norman merch. They went to North Petalburg for that.
This is so weird. This is so weird.
Drew merchandise. I'm going to get you some Drew merchandise.
Okay, I don't want Drew merchandise. He's literally 10. He's 10 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The MILFs are obsessed with Drew. And then one particular MILF, the lead MILF, she wanders over to May. She says, excuse me, are you Norman's daughter? And May's like, yeah, which was her first mistake. Because then the MILFs magically pop from Drew over to May. So Norman Mania is alive and well. The lady also has all the Norman stuff. But the main MILF, her name is Savannah. And she's wearing a contest ribbon around her neck. Because these ladies, their main interest is in Pokemon and Pokemon contests. And they formed a drinking club called MFP, Mothers for Pokemon.
Oh my god.
And they join Pokemon contests whenever they can. But so far, Savannah is the only one who has won any. And she actually won her first contest, first and only contest, which I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Considering these poor women have no free time whatsoever. And I don't know how much you want to talk about that, because I have some thoughts.
I guess we'll get back to it later. Unless you want to do it now.
I mean, if you're good with it. My thought is, this group of women, they're all like young moms who have nothing better to do than like sit around and drink wine and talk about 10-year-olds and Norman, I guess. Like, I don't know what they do for work. It doesn't sound like they're like working moms. It sounds like they're primarily homemakers.
They're domestic engineers.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. But Savannah explains that they basically shoulder the burden for everything. They maintain their household. They do the shopping. They pick up the kids. They maintain the house. They clean everything. They take care of their husbands. And I'm like, are the boyfriends and husbands just not doing anything at all? Like, are they not equal contributors to the household and the childcare and the grocery shopping or whatever else needs to be done? Why is it falling on these women?
I mean, I will say, if that is kind of a job in of itself, is maintaining the home. What?
That does not preclude the husbands from doing laundry or other stuff like that.
The husband doesn't do anything, but I am saying it means you're in charge. You know what all has been done and what needs to be done.
I think, oh my god, I think we're treading a very fine line having this conversation.
I'm saying there's no shame in being a homemaker is what I'm trying
to say. I'm not. That is absolutely not what I'm saying. I'm saying that being a home, you know, stay-at-home parent or whatever is a full-time job. You know, you've got the childcare. You've got to take care of, you know, the daily things that just need to get done around the house in order to go about your day. But I think that we also need to remember that just because somebody quits their job, which I don't want to get into this whole social commentary, but quitting a job, leaving the workforce is one of the most, I don't know if dangerous is the right word, but it speaks to a whole, like, shift in your identity as a person. It's like, you don't want to be isolated, I think, by doing that. Because, you know, then there's a whole financial aspect of it. But I don't think that being a homemaker, for lack of a better term, means that the other person, whether that's the husband or wife, is then absolved of all household responsibilities. That doesn't mean that they become, like, the live-in maid. And they do all the dishes and pick up all the groceries and the laundry and all this stuff. Like, I think that there's still an equal responsibility in some aspects.
Well, I can't speak for most of these scary ladies, but I can speak for Savannah, who appears to be single. She appears to be a single mom.
How do you figure?
Because we learn about her home life and there's no mention of any father, husband at all.
Maybe he's just a useless layabout.
Maybe he is.
And she doesn't want to talk about him.
Maybe.
Or maybe they're in the process of separating because he can't take her fangirling over a 10-year-old boy all the time.
I think they made pains to make Savannah out to be the more rational of these women. Like, she kind of seems like, in comparison to her friends, she has 2 feet underneath her. And she's more into the actual Pokemon training aspect of it than she is into the, ooh, look at this 10-year-old boy, ooh, kind of stuff.
I guess she thinks of it more as, like, an actual pursuit versus, like, the other ones who are just doing it as, like, a casual hobby who aren't really serious. She does have some cool Pokemon, which you can't get without actually putting an effort in training, so.
Let's go ahead and get into her backstory. She actually went on a training journey as a child.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Because I choose to imagine most adults in the Pokemon world did go on Pokemon journeys, and they just burned out, you know, after a few months. Which is what I imagine Savannah did.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like it was something that she really committed to long-term. I mean, the way they explained it very briefly was that she, like you said, did it for a brief time, and then, I don't know, whatever direction her life went, she kind of dropped doing that. She obviously wasn't doing, like, well, I guess we don't really know for sure. She didn't mention doing any gym battles or anything like that. Maybe she never got that far.
But I imagine the implication is the Pokemon she has today are Pokemon from her childhood.
She does tell us that her very first Pokemon was a Bulbasaur. So does that mean that she's from Kanto girly? Yeah. Oh my god.
She must be.
I wonder if Professor Oak would remember her.
Definitely not.
Maybe not. He doesn't care. But there's that Bulbasaur love again.
We don't see her Bulbasaur, but she has living parents and her Bulbasaur is staying with them.
I guess she never evolved it because she says her Bulbasaur is staying with her parents. So she didn't get very far because it didn't ever evolve. So
no. But the Pokemon she has with her today are Flareon, interesting choice, and yeah. Laron, interesting choice.
The Aeron line in general is really good.
We had to get Laron in somewhere.
I wonder if she uses those Pokemon in her daily life. Like, Flareon would be helping out with drying clothes and cooking and stuff.
What does Laron do?
Guard dog.
It looks kind of cool. I like it.
I mean, would you want to burgle a house that had a Laron out in front of it?
Absolutely not.
There you go.
Meanwhile, Jessie wants to get into the contest, but she's unable to because this is an R1 Pokemon contest, which we've never heard of before or since. And that means you can only enter this contest if you have one ribbon or more.
Wait, this never comes up again?
If it does, I don't remember it.
They say that they're using Grand Festival rules, so is this not just a common occurrence?
Does Grand Festival rules just mean you use one Pokemon for the appeals and one Pokemon for the battle round?
Do they ever mention Grand Festival rules again?
I don't know, but that becomes commonplace later.
What even is a Grand Festival rule, really?
I don't know. Mei acts like she's never heard of the Grand Festival before, which I don't agree with that dialogue. That's wrong.
I can't remember specifically if they've ever said the words Grand Festival together before, but
they have.
Okay, then what the hell? Does she just fake amnesia all the time? Is like this, like, innocent, I don't know what's happening around me, please help me out routine? Like, what is her deal?
it's catching from Ash.
The amnesia?
Yes.
Disorder that they have together? Okay.
So, Jessie cannot get into this contest because she has not won a single ribbon. So that's her goal for the day. She has to get this goddamn ribbon. Oh my god. I think we know where this is going.
I know. I feel so bad for Jessie. Like, May fumbled her way through two wins. I don't know how you feel necessarily about either one of those currently. I know we talked about it during the episodes, but Jessie should have at least one by now, I think.
So we're hanging out with Savannah basically all day. And while we do, we go to a farmer's market and we meet Sandra, who is Savannah's daughter, who is younger than Ash and May. She came home and Savannah wasn't home, so she decided to go shopping.
Oh boy.
Why we say oh boy? What is that response? What does that mean?
I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh. I don't know. I was going to say, is there some parentification happening that this girl is like doing chores and stuff? But then I'm like, well, there also is an emphasis in the Pokemon world on self-sufficiency and children being independent at a young age. So maybe this isn't so far-fetched. I don't know.
Yep. Sandra's pretty cool. She's like kind of sarcastic and embarrassed of her mom. She's like, you know, she's all right. I like her. Trainers. Get ready for this one. Which one of these Pokemon evolves into Seviper?
Oh, thank God. It's just an evolution. Wait. What? No, stop. I was like, wait, it's just an evolution of Trainer's Choice. But wait, there's more.
Took you a second.
What the fuck?
Which one of these Pokemon evolves into Seviper? I need to write down the options. Hold on.
I want to know what options they give us.
Oh, these are some crazy ass options.
Maybe we're wrong, Austin. Maybe there is an evolution tree we're not thinking of.
Okay, get ready for this. Oh, Sableye, Arbok, or Suicune?
It's definitely Suicune. Definitely.
What? Sorry, I blew out the mic there. What?
Huh.
I love this. This is so funny to me. This indicates to me that whoever is doing the trainer's choice, they were like, okay, I should come up with the trainer's choice. Oh yeah, Jesse's snake looks different now. So it must have evolved. Okay, Arbok evolves into Seviper. Okay, got it. Let me do some more Coke.
Oh my god. I was looking on our favorite Wobbapedia to see if there was any trivia that mentioned this. Oh, there is. It says, in an infamous Pokemon trainer's choice, Seviper was incorrectly claimed to be an evolved form of Arbok. Oh, I love how when I click on the word infamous, oh, it hyperlinks to this episode.
Wobbapedia, you're so wacky.
Oh, so silly, Wobbapedia. What? And then it says, the Pokemon Trainer's Choice segment incorrectly claims that Arbok evolves into Seviper. Seviper and the other two choices, Sableye and Suicune, don't evolve at all. And Arbok is the only Pokemon in an evolutionary line.
I think it would have been funnier if they said, like, Suicune.
That would be hilarious.
I love it. I can see why this became a meme.
I have no words. I just don't know what to say anymore about these. This is so bad. It progressively gets worse all the time.
So, now that that's out of the way.
Okay.
May is practicing with her Pokemon moves. And they're all kind of fucking it up. Because she is kind of giving them conflicting orders. But then she has a flashback. She remembers that the MILFs told her, quote, she's a Pokemon prodigy. That terminology that we used to refer to her as is actually becoming canon. Which, yeah, she won 2 out of 3 contests. Of course she's a prodigy. And it's actually being stated by the characters now.
Okay, this may be controversial.
Oh boy.
You may not like what I'm saying here. But do we, at this point, okay, I'm not saying for future May or her accomplishments later down the line or what she can, you know, what she figures out later. As of right this moment, do we feel that she's a prodigy?
No, because she's not trying very hard.
And despite her having two ribbons, do we really feel like
she did not earn those? Were earned. That Dusclops bullshit. No, no.
So
I think she earned it with grace.
Sure, you could argue that. But the most recent victory, I don't feel like...
No, the Dusclops thing was... No, that was ridiculous. We know May, but imagine you're on the outside looking in, and all you know is that this girl in her bandana came up. She's won 2 out of her 3 contests, and she's the daughter of a famous person. She's a total Nepo baby who has advantages other people don't have. But we know... She really doesn't have advantages other than maybe Ash and Brock. That's it.
She's got good PR.
Yes.
In the sense that, like you said, she's related to a famous gym leader. She has star power in that regard. And these women are very casual. They're obviously a fan club, so their view of her is skewed. They don't have any background in training, battling, contest appeals. So everything, even the simplest thing, I think impresses them because they don't know the actual circumstances.
Regardless, they're inflating May's ego, and that is going to prove to be a big mistake.
Well, it's her fatal flaw that she, at this far in her journey, which this is what really frustrates me, and not to get ahead of myself too much, but I feel like at this point in the journey and what she's seen with Ash and her own accomplishments as well, she should know better. She should be a little bit more advanced, I think, at this point. And I think this episode and the next one sort of highlights that she's really been coasting along. And I think that really it makes sense how Drew's reactions are toward her in both of these. Like,
yeah, Drew has her clocked.
Yeah. He's not taken in by the ruse.
Speaking of Drew, Drew is also training right next to her. And he has a newly acquired Masquerain.
That's exciting.
They're throwing these Pokemon into the contest episodes. And Drew's Masquerain does some shit with some bubbles or something. I didn't really pay attention. And May's Bulbasaur is really enamored with the Masquerain. And May kind of snaps at it because it's not paying attention to Drew when she wants it to. So Drew goes, and laughs at her, and walks away. So now it's the next morning, and we are at the Pokemon Center. Bulbasaur is going to be the Pokemon that May is going to enter into the contest. And the boy twerps are like, oh my god, no, don't do that. That's a bad call. You have a Torchic, remember your Torchic? Use that Torchic for once, maybe? No? Okay. Bulbasaur, we get some foreshadowing, is terrified because there's so many people in Pokemon in the Pokemon Center. And Bulbasaur's, like, still grasping the concept of air conditioning and electricity.
I know. It comes from a remote woodland area with no human contact. And she's going to be like, okay, now dance, monkey, dance.
That's not going to go well. But anyway, Team Rocket attacks. Jesse steals all the ribbons. Oh my god. And... we blast off Team Rocket or something. I don't know. The episode's over now. The end.
It's kind of a cliffhanger, right? Because it's like, next time when we meet on the stage for the big R1 Pokemon contest.
But Jesse will not be there.
Poor Jesse. With that being said, I guess we'll find out the big conclusion in the next episode. But as for now,
let's flip
MVP.
Let's flip the coin.
Flip. LVP. Quotes.
You're going first.
Well, my MVP is not going to be May or these women, the MFPs or whatever, because they're insane. I'm going to give it to Laron for just being there and being cool. My LVP is going to be the Mothers for Pokemon for fangirling over children and having... Drew action figures, because that's very weird.
It's gonna get worse next episode.
Way worse. Okay, this is my quote, and it's not very good, but it confused the hell out of me, and so I'm thinking maybe it's just like a mistake in the dialogue, or maybe I'm just not understanding it, so I'm gonna read it out and then you can help me understand. How about that?
Okay.
this is towards the end of the episode. May sees Savannah in the Pokemon Center suffering from an anxiety attack because she has severe stage fright. So Savannah is pleading with May and she says, "Can you help me practice? This is only my second contest and I'm completely scared out of my mind." And May is shocked and she says, "No way. Then that must mean you won your very first contest." And I'm sitting here thinking, we had a scene at the beginning where the MFPs said in front of May that Savannah was the only one out of their group to win a contest. And she wears the ribbon around her neck.
I think the emphasis is you won your very first contest.
What?
I think the emphasis is supposed to be it's impressive that she won on her first go.
Oh. I'm the silly goose then.
Silly goose.
She won her first time she ever tried.
Right.
Okay.
My quote is going to be one of the MILFs looks at Ash during all the Drew fangirling, and she says, "Hold on, you there, haven't I seen you before?" And Ash blushes and says, "Oh yeah, probably." So the lady pulls out her little black book of terror, and she says, "I'll check my list. Let's see. Oh well, my list of promising and handsome young trainers doesn't seem to include you. Sorry."
Why does she have a book?
I don't know. This crazy.
What?
Gross.
Okay, never mind that.
My MVP will be Drew.
Oh.
For having merchandise and an action figure that you can purchase.
I will say this about Drew. I appreciate that he is uncomfortable with adult women giving him that attention, unlike Gary, who was reveling in it. So, at least Drew has that going for him.
My LVP will be Drew for getting unwanted attention from these adult women.
Poor slob, but he can't help it. All right, well, that was great, Austin. Thank you for that. So now we are ready to jump into the next one, I believe, and cruise right towards that lose. Are you ready to rock?
I'm ready.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
It's contest time. We all win our appeals, of course. And Drew beats Sunny, whoever the fuck that is. I guess he is mayor of a town in California. And May battles Drew. Or no, she battles Savannah, and Savannah wins because May gets cocky, and the judges chastise her, and then Drew loses to Savannah. So, that sucks.
Time.
That was not my best.
You know, for all our excitement with these contest episodes, I think both of us didn't bring our A game to the Flash challenges this week.
No, we never do.
Sorry about that. It's this daylight savings time.
I know, it's really fucking me up, you guys. I hate daylight savings time. I hate it.
I know, I feel like the day is, like, gone.
I hate
already.
It.
It's gone.
So excited for there to be an increase in fatalities and car crashes tomorrow. Lovely.
Oh, well, that's not depressing or anything.
Well, it's true.
Just be very careful out there, everyone. So, back to the contest, where apparently they are not suffering the effects of daylight savings time.
No, the Pokemon world's a utopia. They don't have daylight savings time.
Do they even have time at all, really, is the question.
Seemingly not.
Despite a whole Pokemon being dedicated to ruling it. Anywho. The next day, or whatever day it is, because I've lost track, Team Rocket gets kicked out of the contest hall in Robello Town because Jesse has tried to enter with jumbo fake contest ribbons, which is kind of cute. But they say emphatically, no, you cannot enter with your fake ribbons. So goodbye, Team Rocket, for now. Meanwhile, the contest itself is in full swing, and our favorite MC, Vivian Meridian, is here, and she is introducing our panel of expert judges, the one, the only, Joy, Tsukizo, and Contessa. Hello again.
Not the one and only Nurse Joy, but sure.
Oh, well, they're all the same, so more or less. So May starts with her Beautifly, and she appeals with Morning Sun and Silver Wind combination.
Boring.
Boring. Boo! This girl stinks!
Get her the fuck out of there.
For some reason, they only let May do one appeal, but meanwhile, Savannah follows her up with Flareon, and she gets to appeal over and over again with first a fire spin and a tackle where it like jumps through the rings of fire, which was cool, and then a swift attack followed by Ember that turns all the swift stars red, and we find out that Savannah has been getting her appeal tips from her daughter, Sandra. It was her idea to do that. So I feel like this girl is definitely a contest participant in the future. She seems made for it. So backstage, May's hubris is on full display because she is telling Savannah that, like, she's the expert and all she has to do is listen to May and all her experience will come in time and all she needs to do is just train. And she is so experienced and old school in this that she has won twice in a row. Nobody is better than her. So that's really great.
They are telegraphing this.
I know. They're not being subtle at all.
It's for five-year-olds. Okay.
Yeah. We got to be really deliberate with how we get points across. So Drew is really amused by this and he's like, yeah, your ego is going to be your downfall and you need to forget what you've already done in the past and focus on the here and now because that's what matters. But May doesn't really want to hear this. She thinks that Drew is full of himself and that she knows better than anyone.
Ironic.
So Drew's up next. He appeals. He uses Roselia, of course, and kind of does an interesting, albeit I feel like we've kind of seen this from him before. I don't really think it's that great, but he does petal dance. Roselia appears mysteriously from the petals, and the judges are impressed enough because Tsukizo actually says a whole sentence.
Tsukizo was very talkative today.
I know. He had a lot on his mind. He obviously felt it was remarkable because he says that that was a beautifully unique appeal. So that's something. As Austin mentioned, there's this other guy, Sunny, who unfortunately has the misfortune of being wrapped up in this whole deal with Drew, May, and Savannah. They're the finalists in the second round of battling. And of course, the brackets are Drew versus Sunny and Savannah versus May. And they're really disappointed by this, even though if they were both successful, they'd have to end up facing each other anyway. But they're like, oh no, we have to fight against each other right away. But May and her inflated ego are patronizing Savannah and claims that she has a special skill for contest battling. Ash walks up and says, hey Savannah, I'm an expert battler, so do you want some tips from me? Because contest battling...
Shut the fuck up, Ash. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, I know. Get the hell out of here.
He hasn't ever been in a contest battle, and he's like, hey, you want some battle tips? Which, I guess, maybe could be helpful, but...
How about we don't patronize the adult woman, Ash? How about you shut the fuck up?
I know. I love the idea that these little 10-year-old kids are going up to this woman, and they're like, let me show you how it's done. But she seems to welcome it. She's like, oh, whatever you can, like, share with me, that's really great. Which, to be honest, I'm not sure that they should be consorting like they are, because this still is a contest and they're kind of giving away trade secrets, I feel like. Either way, May takes offense to this and she basically gets in between Ash and Savannah and pushes Ash out of the way and says, I don't need your help, and I especially don't need anybody telling me how to use my Bulbasaur in a battle, even though you owned a Bulbasaur and could potentially be helpful here.
I kind of think she's not wrong.
I mean...
They have her literally screaming and yelling and, you know, it's not very subtle what they're doing. May's lost her damn mind! But I do think this isn't the time and place for discussing strategy backstage. And also, Ash doesn't know what he's talking about, so why is he trying? Why is he telling everyone what to do?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if there was ever going to be a time for him to share some tips, I mean, this should have been a couple days ago, not the moments right before the actual battle round. Yeah.
It's too late. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, whatever strategy that they've already practiced or she's choosing to employ is not going to be helped out by Ash, like, adding in things that might contradict that at the last minute. So I agree. It's not the time.
So I don't think May's wrong, but I think they want us to think May's wrong by having her be very contrarian and very loud and screeching and saying...
I mean, like you said, they telegraphed it. She's obviously lashing out. She thinks she knows better than everyone else. Instead of being, hey, I'm grateful for the advice. This is really nice of you to do this, but I've got this. Don't worry about it. And being confident in her abilities, she's just lashing out in anger. Clearly, that's going to bleed over into her performance. It's not going to go well. We already know that. The battle round starts. And Vivian explains that the Grand Festival rules also apply here in this round, and that the contestants have to use different Pokemon here than they did in the appeal round, which, okay, great.
Great.
So we start out with Drew versus Sunny, and this Sunny guy has a giraffe rig.
Cool.
Okay, cool. That's nice. And Drew uses his new Masquerain. And this poor guy, Sunny, doesn't have a single second, really, to do anything other than, I think he used Iron Tail, and that was it. Pretty boring, not really even a contest appeal type of battle move. Meanwhile, Drew is using a combination of Bubble that he freezes with an Ice Beam, and then uses a hidden power to have all the little hidden power orbs bounce off of the ice balls and pelt Girafarig into KOing it.
That was cool as hell. Drew may get MVP for that one.
I know. That was really cool. And it made me feel like we've kind of gotten our stride with the contest combo moves.
We're getting better at it.
They're ramping it up. It was better.
Trainers.
Pretty unique. Trainers, yes.
Trainers. Which of these Pokemon is the best choice to battle Ludicolo?
Okay.
Mightyena, Camerupt, or Duskull?
Ludicolo is a grass and water type. So we have Mightyena. Camerupt, no, not at all. Duskull? Or Mightyena? I don't know. Duskull?
Trainers, if you said that Arbok evolves into Seviper, you were correct.
Woo! I knew all along.
The episode claims Camerupt is the correct answer, but obviously it's not because it has a quadruple weakness to water. So that's incorrect.
What? Did they mean the not the
which
worst
is the
choice?
Worst choice that that'll be below.
Like, that would be correct. Like that, yes, it would absolutely be the worst choice. Okay, so wait, does it say what would be? Because like Mightyena and Duskull don't. I mean, aren't they just both kind of the same?
There's not a correct answer.
Okay.
Trainers!
Okay. Okay. Trainers.
I still think this is Ash losing his mind in the corner, screaming at an invisible audience that doesn't exist. Trainers! Which one of these Pokemon evolves into a Viper?
Ash is... Maybe Ash is just, like, the ultimate troll.
Maybe.
Maybe he just thinks this is hilarious, being so wrong. Well... You know the drill, you guys. If you're listening and want to give us your thoughts on this and why potentially Mightyena or Duskull is the better choice, like, is there something that we're not thinking about? Because...
Probably.
I don't know.
I'm sure Camerupt really is the correct answer because it has a hidden ability that gives all water types complete paralysis at all times and...
Okay. Well, I cheated. I looked to... says both Mightyena and Duskull would be equal type matchups, so yeah.
Well, they'd be, like, neutral.
Yeah. It wouldn't really matter which one you picked. Okay, well, that was ridiculous. Moving on, after Drew's really awesome battle round, he wins. That's great. So now we have Savannah versus May, and we all know how this is gonna go. So she uses her Laron, and May stubbornly decides to use her Bulbasaur. And Bulbasaur immediately gets stage fright. She's scared of all the cheering and the lights and the noise, and the crowd just overwhelms her. And instead of comforting Bulbasaur, she leans down and scolds it for cracking under the pressure. Brock helpfully chimes in and explains to Ash and Max that he was just certain that something like this was going to happen.
Yeah, Brock. And you knew what the Togepi dimension was going to look like before you went in there, didn't you?
He knows everything, Austin. He just stays quiet up until the moment of truth.
You know what? Maybe that's for the best. Maybe he shouldn't be telling everyone what to do all the time, because they gotta learn themselves.
He has all the answers. But he was certain that something like this was gonna happen because he clocked it immediately in the backstage area when May was getting angry at Ash, and her anger was scaring Bulbasaur, and so he knew that it was going to be afraid on stage. So Savannah decides that she's not going to handicap herself on May's account because May told her to give it her all during battle. Otherwise, it's an insult to the opponent.
True.
And I agree with that. Bulbasaur uses Vine Whip to constrict Lairon, but Lairon fires back with a move that they call Shockwave. And this is where things get interesting because in the stands, Sandra is watching her mom and she claims that Shockwave is a move that paralyzes opponents on direct contact. Which, if you look up what the effects of Shockwave are...
Oh, I'm so glad you did. I was like, yeah, whatever.
I thought for sure, I was like, okay, I don't think that Shockwave's a paralyzing move, but I could be wrong, so let me look this up. The game mechanics for this move do not involve paralysis whatsoever. It's just a move that passes every accuracy check, so it basically always hits.
Okay.
There's no paralysis effect at all.
Unless there's contact!
Well, apparently this Lairon has a special kind of shockwave move that can paralyze, because, yeah, that's not the case. So, unlucky for May and Bulbasaur, I guess. Bulbasaur is pretty much on death's doorstep at 1 HP, and it basically passes out. And it's done. And so they basically call it. Bulbasaur loses. And May exclaims that she's not done fighting yet. But Joy stands up and throws her chair back and says, "You are done battling. You're a terrible trainer. You have no compassion at all."
Basically.
I
actually have the exact quote.
Oh, you want to read it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
May says, "Hey, wait. I'm not done fighting." And Joy says, and then she throws her chair back and she says, "Yes, you are. Where is your concern for your Pokemon's health, May?" Contessa says, "That is a coordinator's number one priority, not winning." And Tsukizo says, "By now you should know that."
That was ice cold.
That was awesome.
Tsukizo was the most badass in that whole moment because I agree with him. She should know way more at this point in her coordinator career than she displays. Like, she's getting called out in front of the entire audience about how much she's been skating through, it seems like. I was like, yeah, May, you needed to be knocked back down to reality.
God, you know it's serious when fucking Contessa and Tsukizo have some strong words for you.
I know. And even mild-mannered Joy getting up there and screaming at her.
I love when Joy gets mad.
May is rightfully embarrassed, as she should be, so she runs outside to, you know, retreat from everyone else because she doesn't want anybody to see her. Ash walks up to comfort her, and this was kind of a sweet moment, and he basically reminds her that every trainer has moments where they get carried away and that they just have to be united, and she needs to have trust in her Pokemon and not push them like that. So that was a nice little pep talk. Thanks, Ash. He asks her, because the battle between Drew and Savannah is currently underway. He's like, "Hey, do you want to come back and watch the rest of the battle with me?" And she's like, "No, thanks. I can't face anyone right now." But ultimately, the outcome of the battle is decided. Drew is in a comfortable lead over Savannah, and he wins easily. So better luck next time, moms for Pokemon. I guess at the end of the day, May is a changed person. She decides not to take her wins for granted anymore. So we'll see how that actually plays out. And she puts her money where her mouth is. And she claims that she would love to see Savannah again in future contests. And I have to ask Austin if we do ever see her again.
Nope.
We don't. Okay. Well, so much for that then.
I'm not including cameos.
I guess she'll just go on and be the head of Moms for Pokemon and never participate in another contest again, so.
I mean, that makes sense. She lives here. She's not traveling, so it makes sense we never see her again.
Yeah, how is she supposed to leave her young daughter alone?
Right. Her and the Phantom were locals to where they live. Right. To the contest. Grace, we have no excuse. Grace, we should see again.
Which we don't.
Yeah, and we should also see Janet and Chaz? Chad? Whatever the fuck his name was.
That we don't either.
Remember those boring-ass people? Yeah, them too.
Okay, well, that was great. Like I said, hopefully May learns a lesson from this. I guess we shall see, but that's that. We don't see Drew, by the way.
He had enough stalking of May for one day.
I had secondhand embarrassment, honestly, from May. I kind of feel like I'm with Drew on this one. He's like, yeah, you're going to learn real quick, girl. And yeah. Then he left, so.
What is it, he doesn't appear again because it would have been too mean for Drew to appear and kind of step on her when she's down?
Yeah, I think he knew that she was going to learn her lesson. And the embarrassment that she got from her shameful display in front of all those people, I think was enough.
We don't need Drew to rub it in.
Yeah, Drew even knows when it's too far. So yeah, MVP, LVP quotes.
I love how you totally skipped over the Team Rocket little storyline, by the way.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry. I could...
it was such a nothing. It was like 30 seconds total of their bullshit.
Honestly, I left them out because what is there to say? I mean, really, nothing. Their little B plot was, if you really have a burning curiosity to know, Jesse had the idea of being entrepreneurial and sewing a bunch of those jumbo contest ribbon souvenirs and selling them because one lady walked up to her and was like, oh my god, I love your merchandise. I want to buy one of these jumbo ribbons to put on my Azure roll. So they go into overdrive to make all these ribbons that nobody buys. And then ultimately that one lady ends up returning it because it was smothering her Azure roll to death. So
we don't need Team Rocket in every episode, but they're here.
This is as close as of an episode as we got to them not being here. Like, they were barely there. They might as well have not been, but I see what you're saying.
MVP, LVP, in quote?
Sure.
Boop, 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 boop. I'm going first, which is too bad because I don't really have any answers. I guess my LVP is going to be an automatic May.
Yeah.
Because obviously, duh. And my MVP is going to be the judges for giving her a well-deserved dressing down.
Yeah, she needed it. And they were badass. I've never seen them so mad.
my quote. Oh, God, did I write down a single quote?
There weren't a lot.
No, there were not. I guess I'll say the MFP cheer that they did.
Oh my god.
No, did you
want to use that one? No, go for it. It was so weird.
It's embarrassing. Okay.
It isn't. Yeah.
Who's got it going on? Who's got a flurry on? Check it, she's a slamma. Watch out, she's a jamma. You don't have a chance against Savannah.
Boo. Mm, that was bad. Didn't they have another cheer too, or was that it?
I didn't write that one down. They did.
Okay, never mind.
Savannah, she's our man.
Okay, well, with that, I'm going to give my MVP to Sandra, actually, for coming up with all of those contest appeal moves that she gave over to her mom. Clearly, she's the brains behind this whole operation, and you just know she's going to have a future in contests.
You know what would be an interesting episode?
What?
Savannah versus Sandra in a Pokemon contest.
Yes.
That's an interesting concept. Okay.
Can Savannah take everything she's learned from her experiences and, like, her teachings from her own child versus Sandra having to go up against her own ideas that she had given her mom in the past? That'd be interesting. We'll never see it, though, so only in our minds, imaginations. My LVP is, I guess my LVP is going to be...
There's an obvious one.
What?
Who you gave it to last time.
Is it Laron for the shockwave move that makes no sense?
Oh, no.
Oh, what?
The MFPs.
Oh, well... I feel like that's not inspired. I feel like I need to change it up a little bit. I'm going to give it to Laron for skirting the rules of what Shockwave can actually do.
Damn, it got MVP last time, LVP this time.
You know, it's a wash.
It's a fall from grace.
And my quote, there's not many. God, okay, I guess at the very beginning, when Jessie gets kicked out of the contest hall for trying to use her jumbo ribbons to enter. She says, "Contest rules say you have to have a ribbon, and I have one. Give me two good reasons why I can't enter." James replies, "One, that's a fake ribbon." Meowth follows, "Two, that's a big fake ribbon." Silly. All right, with that,
yep.
We have reached the contest finale.
Yeah, we learned a lesson today.
Did we, though?
Don't have a huge ego. Don't abuse your Pokemon. Don't.
No, no. I'm not saying for us. Yes. Okay. Audience, yes, has learned a lesson. Has May learned her lesson? Time will tell.
Okay. We'll find out.
We'll find out next time.
Next time. Speaking of.
Yeah.
Pearls are a Spoink's best friend.
Okay.
And that's just Swellow.
Is it the episode?
Alex, I'm not going to tell you when it's going to be the episode. You're just going to figure it out yourself. But it's not going to be for a while.
Okay. I'm sorry I'm such an eager beaver. Plus, we haven't seen Talo in a while, so a Swellow episode, I feel like, is overdue.
What the fuck happened to Talo? I thought Talo was way more prominent.
Did we both have, like, the wrong memory about this season of Pokemon? Because I felt the same. I thought Talo was, like, a mainstay, and that he was always around, but we've barely seen him.
I mean, he steals the spotlight when he appears, but he barely ever appears.
Is that because we don't see him very much, so we're like shocked and like awed that Talo's shown up for once?
I seriously thought Talo was like, you know, like, oh, it's the greatest bird Pokemon Ash ever had. It got so much attention, spotlight, and personality. That never happened.
Of all the Pokemon Ash has currently, I think the one we've seen the most is by far Corphish.
Of course.
Which surprised me, because I remember Corphish showing up, but I don't remember him being, like, there all the time, like he has been, so, Anyway.
All right, that's
maybe it. Talo will get some love next time, so stick around for that. We want to say thank you guys so much for reaching out and all your feedback this week. It was fun. Please keep it coming. If you have thoughts about the stuff we talked about today, please let us know, or thoughts in general about Pokemon Gen 10 or whatever else you want to let us know. We look forward to that. You can reach out to us on our email, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com, or our Blue Sky or Instagram. Same handle for both, @outofthedryingpan. Reach out to us over there as well. We also have our Patreon. If you like this podcast and you want to support us, we really very much appreciate it. You can find the link to that in our description. And as always, we want to say thank you guys so much for tuning in this week, and we hope to see you next week as the journey continues.